A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. You who are children of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God, with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exulted. My flesh, too, will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.' My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, as you both see and hear." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Your right hand, bliss forever. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. The chief priests assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep.' And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. Verbum Domini. As our Holy Father is on our minds and in our hearts and in our prayers this morning after his passing, we can recall his words just yesterday. In his Easter Urbi et Orbi message, literally meaning to the city, that is to the city of Rome and to the world, our Holy Father reminded us that the resurrection of Jesus is the basis of our hope, and hope does not disappoint. And the way the Holy Father described it was that in the death and resurrection of Christ, love has triumphed over hatred, light over darkness, and truth over falsehood, forgiveness over revenge. Evil, he says, has not disappeared from history. It will remain until the end. But it no longer has the upper hand. It no longer has power over those who accept the grace of this day. There was an article this morning from the Vatican news site that it was the papal master of ceremonies had mentioned that our Holy Father's desire for his funeral was to have a simple funeral rite, but he really wanted the focus to be on the risen Lord, right? And so it's a great focus that we should always keep our mind on our Lord who himself suffered, died, and rose from the dead. So with our hearts fixed on the risen Lord, we pray this morning, Heavenly Father, we entrust the soul of your servant, Pope Francis, to your mercy with confidence and faith. Grant, we pray, that having served as the vicar of Christ, your Son, on earth, he may be welcomed by him into the eternal glory of heaven. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. And on this Monday, in the octave of Easter, we recall that the Lord is very much alive. The church sets before us today the very first sermon of St. Peter in the Acts of the Apostles. And this is right after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and Our Lady, coming like a mighty wind and appearing as tongues of fire upon each of them. And it's in this sermon, part of which we heard today, that resulted in the conversion and baptism of about 3,000 people. St. Peter's preaching, he proclaims not just the mighty deeds, the wonders, and signs worked by Christ, but he particularly emphasized the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. And he notes that not only did Christ rise from the dead, but Peter and the others were witnesses to this fact. They saw the risen Lord and even ate and drank with him. And Peter's transformation shows the power of the Holy Spirit at work. Before this, he had denied knowing the Lord during his passion out of fear when he was put on the spot. But now Peter, having been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, is full of the love of God. He's no longer afraid. He can't help but go out and proclaim Christ to others, the risen Lord. And the power of the Holy Spirit received at Pentecost was life-changing for Peter and the other apostles. St. John Chrysostom made note of a detail in our reading today that Peter stood up with the 11. That's what we're told. This is what St. Luke says. and they were witnesses of what he said. So this not only highlights the role of primacy of Peter, right, that Peter stood up with the 11, but also that the apostles expressed themselves through one common voice. He stood up with the 11. They were completely united in this most important message, right? This is foundational to our faith, the resurrection of Christ. This is everything. The truth of this message is so foundational that, as St. Paul would say, if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is in vain. We're wasting our time. But if Christ is risen, then he is God. And the religion that he founded is divine, and we must profess that faith, right? This is revealed by God. And we know that the apostles, there is nothing of which the apostles had a stronger conviction than in the reality of the resurrection, right? And they preached this boldly, and they were willing to die for it. And in our gospel today, I just want to mention 2 points. First is the experience of the guards and the chief priests, and then a point about the experience of the two women when they encountered the risen Lord. So we heard in today's gospel that some of the guards went into the city and they told the chief priests all that had happened. These chief priests were obviously concerned about what they heard. They're concerned about the news regarding the Lord's resurrection, first and foremost. They're concerned about the earthquake, the appearance of the angels, and the paralyzing fear that these guards had experienced. But because of the continued hardness of their hearts, they went on to bribe the guards to spread a lie about what had taken place, that the body of Jesus had been stolen by the disciples while the guards were sleeping. But the details of their plans were not well thought out because the guards, they said, were asleep. They clearly could not be witnesses that the body had been stolen if they were asleep. If they had not seen it take place, then how could they bear witness to the fact that the body was stolen while they were asleep? As has been said quite simply, sleeping witnesses are no witnesses. St. John Chrysostom brings up another point to consider. That is, if the apostles fled out of fear when Christ was still alive, wouldn't one think that they would still be full of fear regarding the guards assigned to watch over the tomb? Why would they take that chance? Right, when the Lord was alive, they fled out of fear. It was later at Pentecost that they'd be full of confidence, right? Just as we heard in our first reading, which happened right after Pentecost, that Peter preached with boldness. In addition, St. John makes it clear that the linen cloths that covered the body and the cloth that had been used to cover the face of Christ in his burial had been left in the tomb. If the disciples had stolen the body, why would they have taken off the linen cloths and left them behind? It would have been an unnecessary waste of time, a delay of time. If they were stealing the body, they'd want to get in and out as quickly as possible. They were desperate, right? And so the chief priests and the guards, they would do in their desperation, they did whatever they could to resist this uncomfortable truth of the Lord's resurrection. And so they bribed the guards. The final point I want to make is about the disposition of the two women, of the two Marys that we hear in today's gospel. St. Matthew tells us that when they went away from the tomb, they were fearful yet overjoyed. I think these two extreme, very intense emotions of intense joy and intense fear. Remember, they had just been instructed by the angel to deliver the message to the apostles about the Lord's resurrection and that they would see him again in Galilee. So there was some fear and awe in their hearts at the same time regarding this tremendous miracle. And along the way, the Lord did meet them. As one commentary notes, the two women respond as every disciple should in the presence of the glorified Messiah. They bow down and worship, right? They fell at his feet. Then these two women took hold of and embraced his feet. So now, in addition to delivering the message entrusted to them by the angel, they've actually seen and touched the risen Lord himself. And Jesus tells them not to be afraid, but to continue with their mission, to go tell the apostles. Go tell the apostles that he would see them in Galilee. St. Peter Chrysologus noted that when the Lord greeted these two women, he does not frighten them with his great power, but comes before them with the ardor of his love. And we know that love casts out all fear. It leads to joy. St. Peter Chrysologus said further that the Lord does not wait to be recognized. He does not demand to be understood. He does not allow himself to be questioned. Rather, he extends this greeting immediately, enthusiastically. He did this because the force of his love overcomes and surpasses all. And so as we continue celebrating the Lord's resurrection in this Easter octave as the foundation of our faith, we ask for an increase of faith and hope and charity in our souls, right? A greater faith and hope in the risen Christ, a greater desire for heaven, and an increased love for our Lord and for one another. We continue to entrust to the risen Lord the soul of our Holy Father, Pope Francis.